This is a special time when we gather around the Lord's table. It's a family time. It's only for the family of the Lord. It's to eat the bread that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us on that tree. It's to drink the cup that represents the shed blood of our Lord, which to the believer is a precious thing. It's totally symbolic. You know, there are some Christian denominations that say that it's more than that. One of the things that I very carefully never call this is a sacrament. A sacrament means that if you partake of the Lord's table, that it has some spiritual, you are taking some spiritual, mysterious grace from it. And that's not what it is. We specifically call it an ordinance of the church. It's something that the Lord commanded us to do, like baptism. He's commanded it, but it's all symbolic. I really don't believe that the Lord is any more present when we remember the Lord's death than he is present any other time. What we always want is a sense of the manifest presence of God, no matter what the service might be. But the bread is symbolic. It symbolizes, as I said, the pierced, broken body of Jesus and the cup, the precious blood that Jesus shed. What I want to simply insert into your thinking and have you ponder is this. Are you as serious about the reality of communion as you are about its symbolism? And you think, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you're not only invited to partake of the bread and the cup, but as believers, you are invited on a regular and daily basis to partake of Christ's life. The communion, of course, what we are going to observe here, it represents Jesus' physical body. His body was broken so that you could be saved, so that we could be saved. And God could not exempt Jesus from suffering because the only saving force in all the world is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on that tree. His life was sacrificed in love. His life was surrendered to the Father in death. And as a result, he offers to anyone who will receive him, he will offer to you his very life. And this is something that perhaps is not clearly delineated, I guess, in the gospel. Is that the gospel is, yes, the reception of a gift. It's the reception of eternal life, forgiveness of sin. But it is that because when you are saved, when you receive salvation, you receive a person. You receive Christ himself. And the Bible talks about the fact that Christ is in you if you're a believer. You have the indwelling spirit of Christ in you. And so communion represents the physical body of the Lord, that without that, there would be nothing that he has to offer us. There'd be no salvation. But in salvation, he offers us his life. Now, I'm stressing this point because here's the main point that I want to make. And our just some thoughts before we actually partake of the Lord's Supper. And the second thought is this. While communion represents the physical body of the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is made up of all believers, as we heard this morning in the Torah portion, Jew and Gentile. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is all saved people. While communion represents the physical body of the Lord, the church is Jesus's spiritual body. If you're a believer, you are the spiritual body of the Lord. And if the world is going to be reached with the gospel, and that's our commission, that's what we're commanded to do, to go into all the world. If the world is going to be reached with the gospel, it will be reached through the body of Christ. And by that, I mean his spiritual body, which is the church. As Christ's physical body was broken for our salvation, so the church, the spiritual body of Christ, must be broken if others are to be rescued. Now, what do I mean by that? You and I have the privilege as believers to suffer for Christ's sake to reach others. I don't believe that you can reach people without some level of personal suffering. There is part of you that has to die if you are going to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus. And so you and I have the privilege of sharing in Christ's suffering for the sake of others. You can live life like Jesus when you are willing to let down the barriers of self-preservation. When you are willing to stop trying to shield yourself from that which is unpleasant or that which is risky, in order to give the gospel to people. So then you can be a temple of the Lord and not a temple of self-interest or a temple of self-importance. So when you partake at the Lord's table as a believer, as we will in a few moments, you have to recognize that by your actions, you are accepting, you have accepted Christ's sacrifice for you. And you're saying, in essence, to the Heavenly Father, break me as you will and spend me as you spent Jesus. So if you let God break you and spend you and possess you, then you'll live in fellowship with Christ and your life will be fruitful. Back in 1950, doctors were just beginning to experiment with new kinds of medical treatments. A young boy in California came to the doctor with severe kidney infection, an infection that had done damage to his kidneys, and the situation really reached a crisis to the point where the doctor told his parents that if something radical isn't done here, your son's going to die. And so the doctors got together and they had a conference, and they discussed with the best medical people of that day in California What's to be done? And one recommended a radical experiment. And the experiment was this. It had never been done before. To hook up the boy's body to a person with a healthy kidney and let the good kidney clean the boy's blood and give the boy a chance to recuperate. This was obviously before there was kidney dialysis. And so the doctors talked to the parents, and the parents agreed to the procedure. So the dad's blood type matched his son's blood type. And so they took the father to the operating room, and they put him on a bed beside his son. And they linked their blood systems together. And the blood from the boy flowed into the father's body, and the father's blood flowed into his son's body. For many days, the boy had maintained a very high fever, but as the procedure continued, the dad's temperature, body temperature, rose until it matched his son's. And then all of a sudden, both of them dropped to a normal temperature level. And the experiment appeared to be successful. So they kept the boy in the hospital for 9 more days, and he seemed to be fine. And so after 9 days, they discharged the child, but they kept the dad longer for observation. And on the 11th day, the father's temperature suddenly skyrocketed, and he quickly died. The Heavenly Father caused his holy Son to meet the fatal disease of our sin. And Jesus took our sin and our disease in his body, and he bore our punishment, and he died in our place, and he infused his righteousness into us who receive him. And with Christ's life in you, then you're to give your life into God's hands, like Jesus did, in order to rescue a sinning, dying world all around you. That's the message that I want to have you ponder and think about. As I said, that are you as serious about the reality of communion as you are about its symbolism? I think most of us here are convinced about the symbolism of the Lord's Supper. But have we ever viewed the reality of it, that you are partaking of a Savior who sacrificed everything in order for your salvation? And as a child of God and as a recipient of that sacrifice, then you are called to a cross. You are called to deny yourself, to take up your cross, your instrument of execution, in order to follow him. You are to sacrifice yourself like Jesus did on that cross. You're to sacrifice your ambitions, your desires, lay everything aside in order to be a vehicle through which the gospel of Jesus Christ can go to a lost world. That's the reality of communion. That's one reason why we celebrate, or why we memorialize the death of Christ. It's to remind us of the awful price that he paid for us. And as we do so, we're reminded also that responsibility is laid upon us to follow in his footsteps and to give of ourselves as he gave himself on our behalf. Yes, we can't hang on a cross like him and be a means of atonement. But we can let God use these lives, these bodies, any way he sees fit to get the gospel worldwide. And it starts right here. And it starts with a heart that is just surrendered to God. Lord, I want to be used of you. And I don't care what it takes. And I don't care where you send me. I want to be used of you. I want to be a life like Jesus, poured out as a living sacrifice unto you. That's the reality of communion that I want you to ponder as we gather around the Lord's table.